Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And our text for today is the verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. As we mentioned this morning already, I want to consider in this verse the picture we are given of the compassionate Christian. Paul, having addressed the members of the Thessalonian church as to how they are to or were to behave and conduct themselves in relation to their ruling elders and teaching elders, Paul now instructs the believers on how they are to treat one another, what their attitude should be toward one another. And we see that he uses the same form of address as he did before in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And we come now to verse 14. And he says, we beseech you, brethren, the word, he says, we exhort you, brethren, the word exhort is the same word, beseech. So he uses exactly the same language. As we've already pointed out, this was a serious and solemn exhortation and a serious and solemn charge that he was once again putting to the believers. In the first place, how they were to treat their ruling elders and teaching elders. And now, how they were to treat one another. The charge is the same. The exhortation is the same. Paul was dealing here primarily with the behavior of the believers within the church assembly, how they were to behave in the house of God toward one another. And of course, that extended beyond the precincts of the Lord's house, but in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And so we see there is a way for us to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And Paul here in his letter to the Thessalonians develops that thought about how we are to behave in the house of the Lord. Because it is in the Lord's house when we come together on the Lord's day that we meet up with one another. We may not see one another during the week, but we do come together, we assemble ourselves together to worship God. And Paul is here addressing the believers in the church at Thessalonica, and he says to them, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. There you have a picture of the compassionate Christian. Let us be that compassionate Christian. that Paul speaks about here. For any church would be blessed with the presence of such an individual that Paul describes here. So that's where we begin, with the compassionate Christian. The psalmist said in Psalm 111 and verse 4, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Such grace and compassion the Savior demonstrated during the years of his earthly ministry. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. The word "moved" there refers to being moved in his innermost being. He was moved in his heart with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He saw the multitude. They had been with him for days. And when he saw them, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. They were weary. They were tired. They had been following him for days. And he said to his disciples, "They're scattered abroad like sheep, having no shepherd." And the Lord was moved with compassion. The disciples didn't see the multitude in the Lord. We don't read about the disciples being moved with compassion. But the Lord, Matthew 9, verse 36. And over again, the Savior showed that he had a heart that was full of compassion. And whether he saw the needs of a multitude or the needs of an individual, his heart once again was moved with compassion. Luke 7, verse 13, "And when the Lord saw her," that is the widow of Nain, "he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not." He not only had compassion for the need of this poor widow, but he endeavored to bring her comfort. He had compassion on her and he said, "Weep not." He wanted to comfort her. Just as we have read, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. In other words, the Lord had compassion, first of all, upon the afflicted. And Paul here speaks about those in the Thessalonian church who were afflicted. They were afflicted for, again, we read in verse 14, he mentions there, first of all, the unruly. Looking at that in a moment or two. He also mentions the feeble-minded. There are those who are afflicted by feeble-mindedness. They're very feeble individuals. There are others who are afflicted with weakness. Paul says, support the weak. And then he mentioned those whom we need to be patient with. For he says, be patient toward all men. There are those in your church, Paul is saying, and you'll need to exercise patience. So he mentions then the feeble-minded and the weak and those who need to be dealt with patience. Notice, all of those afflictions mentioned there in that verse 14 are not easily detected. They're not plain to be seen. They're not seen openly. Now, if someone came in here in the church on crutches with a plaster on their leg, well, you would see that all right. And we would go to that person immediately and say, what happened to you? And they would tell us the story and we would feel sorry for them and ask them, is that painful? But then there are others who enter the Lord's house and you do not know or you cannot see their affliction, such as being feeble, being weak. Let me give you an example. Someone who suffers from depression may not be given the same sympathy as that person who's on crutches. Because you can see what's wrong with that person. You can see that they have broken their leg. But a person who's suffering from depression, you can't see it the same. Therefore, you'll not extend to that person the same sympathy that you would to the one who has fallen and broken a leg. Usual response, sadly, to someone who suffers from depression is, oh, pull yourself together. Whatever that means. But really, when you think of it, that person who's suffering from depression perhaps needs more sympathy than the one who has, as we've said, broken their leg. And here Paul speaks about those who are feeble-minded, those who are weak, and those who need to be dealt with patience. Listen to what Peter said. Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And if we happen to know someone who perhaps from time to time suffers from depression, and we know about it, then let us have that compassionate heart. The Lord was moved with compassion. That leads us then to the attitude. You have the afflictions. Paul mentions, and then he mentions also the attitude. Peter's just told us what the Christian's attitude ought to be towards those who are weak and feeble-minded. Have compassion, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And their attitude to those who are afflicted by feeble-mindedness and weakness can be summed up in one word: compassion. The Lord hasn't given us all the strength of Samson, nor the stamina of an Apostle Paul, or the speech of an Apollos. We are what we are. We are what the Lord has made us. We're not all able to slay 1,000 Philistines, as Samson did, or serve the Lord night and day, as Paul did, or speak with the eloquence of an angel, as Apollos did. But we are still the Lord's people. He has saved us, he has redeemed us, he has claimed us as his own. He knows all about our weaknesses, our failings. He knows all about our feebleness. Not many showed compassion towards the poor. Why people would go home another way if they saw a leper coming down a street. They wouldn't even go down the same street as a leper. But when we turn to the Lord's ministry, and we turn to Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, we read that the Lord treated lepers in a very, very different way. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Next verse. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Far from leaving him and putting some distance between himself, the Lord Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. That's the difference. The Lord Jesus had a heart that was full of compassion. And so let us be compassionate as the Savior was towards the weak and towards the feeble, whenever and wherever we may meet them. That leads us then to the action. Apostle Paul says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort, there's the action. To warn, to comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. The action is to warn, to comfort, to support, and be patient. All that we would expect to find in the life of a compassionate Christian. As the hymn writer has put it, make friends of God's children, help those that are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Help those who are weak. And Paul begins by saying, warn them that are unruly. Now we may look at those words and think to ourselves, there's nothing very compassionate about those words. Ah, but there is. Doesn't the Lord in his word warn us about being unruly? Doesn't the Lord chastise us? And we're told he only chastises those whom he loves. He only chastises and chastens his own people. Just as a father chastens his son because he loves him. He doesn't want him to live an unruly life. And so he warns him. and sounds out a word of warning. If you continue in this way, in this unruly way, you're headed for trouble. Tells them that because he loves them. And here Paul tells the believers, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Or the word unruly means disorderly. If you see any, and this is one area that you can see, you can see someone who's unruly or behaves in a disorderly way, Paul says, have a word with them. If you love that person, you'll have a word with them. We hear from time to time of soldiers being charged with disorderly conduct. It is interesting that the word we have here, unruly or disorderly, is used with reference to a soldier. It's used with reference to a soldier. Warn them that are unruly or disorderly. Doing something that is not becoming of a soldier. Likewise, there are those who name the name of Christ, do things and say things that are not becoming their profession of faith as Christians. And the compassionate friend of that individual will warn them. Of course, sometimes Christians can get out of step with the Lord, like a soldier. He's on parade, and you see the soldiers marching in ranks. And if one man is out of step, you can see it. The rest of the men are walking in unison, but one man is out of step. He's out of step with the rest of his fellow soldiers. Likewise, when we are out of step with the Lord, the captain of our salvation, then we're out of step with everybody else. In 1 John 1 and verse 6, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We walk in darkness, we say we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness. In other words, we're out of step with God. We're not walking in the light. And that's what John says in the next verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In other words, believer, when we walk with the Lord, we'll be walking with our fellow believers. When we're in step with God, we'll be in step with each other. But Paul here refers to some in the church in Thessalonica who were out of step. They were behaving in an unruly way or disorderly. Paul says they need to be warned. Because the church is likened unto an army in the Bible. And so in the Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 10, there the beloved describes his church coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved, terrible as an army with banners. And so, believer, we're all in the Lord's army. And may we always be in step with the captain of our salvation. May we always be in step with our commander. And when we're in step with the commander, we'll be in step with one another. But when someone gets out of step, then someone needs to have a word in that Christian's ear. Because we don't want them to see them go to wreck and ruin and make shipwreck of their life. Why do we give a word of warning? Because we love them. Because we have a heart of compassion. And you know, whenever it's pointed out to us that we're doing something wrong, or whenever it is revealed to us that we're out of step with the Lord, we ought to thank the person who tells us. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And the person who gives the word of warning, he's being faithful. And he's to be looked upon as a friend. The apostle was that friend. He was that friend to so many, many people. Because in Acts 20, we read that Paul ceased not to warn the people of the church of Ephesus night and day, serving the Lord in verse 9. With all humility of mind and many tears and temptations which befell me at the lying await of the Jews. And I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. He ministered to the believers in the church at Ephesus, sounding out a warning, exhorting them to be sure they are walking with the Lord. Apostle Paul was a friend of many because he sounded out the warning. So let us show our compassion with loving and entreaties and warnings. Next, the apostle appeals to the saints, saying, comfort the feeble-minded. That word comfort has a lovely meaning. That word comfort means speak kindly to one another. Comfort the feeble-minded. Speak kindly unto the feeble-minded. The same word is used in John chapter 11. In John 11, and there we read in verse 19, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus had died. It's the same word, comfort. And so you look there at that verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary and spoke kindly unto them. Had a kind word for them. with regard to their brother. Verse 31, same chapter. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, same word again, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, she goeth on to the grave to weep there. They comforted her. They spoke kindly unto her. They spoke kindly. And Paul says, speak kindly unto the feeble-minded. May not be as strong as you. May not be as boisterous as you. We're not to chastise them because they're feeble. Not to chastise or criticise them because they're feeble. Not to chide with them because they are feeble. Instead, we are to speak kindly. The word feeble-minded means faint-hearted. To be faint-hearted. This reminds us of the children of Israel. If you turn to Numbers 13. The spies have returned with their report of the land of Canaan. We know, of course, that Caleb and Joshua brought a good report. And we read there in Numbers 13 and verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What did Caleb do? He spoke kindly on to the people. But we read in the next verse, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they brought us up an evil report. And how did that affect the children of Israel? Verse 1 of chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night and murmured against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. What happened? They became faint-hearted. Caleb didn't criticize them or chastise them or chide with them. Caleb spoke comfortably on to them. And Caleb said, we can take the land. We can go up and we can conquer the land. He was speaking comfortably to them, to the faint-hearted. That's how we need to deal with those that are faint-hearted, to the feeble-minded. Speak kindly unto them. That's what a compassionate Christian will do. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, we have the same principle illustrated. Deuteronomy 20 and verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid. Don't faint hearted. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Speak unto the people. Speak kindly. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemy. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God, he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemy, to save you. The priest spoke kindly to the people. The priest had a kind word. You know, it goes a long way to someone who is faint-hearted, to someone who is of a feeble mind. And believer, where we detect that feeble-mindedness, let us speak a kind word. And say to that brother or sister, it's all right, the Lord is with us. The Lord will fight your battles. The Lord will give you grace. The Lord will hold you up. The Lord will strengthen you. Just a word in season to the feeble-minded. Then Paul says something else. Paul says, support the weak. Support the weak as well as comfort the feeble-minded. The thought here is to give help to a person who is unable to carry his or her own burden. They grow weak. They become weak because of the weight of their burdens. And my, there are many who would fall into that category. From time to time, we hear about individuals and the burdens they have to carry. And I often think to myself, some people have heavy crosses to bear. They do not seem to get any relief from the burdens they're called upon to bear. And Paul here is speaking of those who are have grown weak because of the weight of their burdens. And Paul said, support the weak. Do what you can to support them. Just as someone would help us to carry, let's say, a long beam. When I worked in the engineering and the workshop, the beams of metal would be outside. There's no way you could carry them yourself. So you get one of your workmates to come out and they would lift one end and I'd lift the other and would carry it into the workshop. That's the sense of this word. Support means to share. Share the burden. You know the old proverb, a burden shared is a burden halved. And if we can help some brother or some sister who's carrying a heavy burden, and we know they're carrying a burden, well, let us endeavor to support them. Help them to help to share their burden. What can I do to help you? Is there anything I can do to help lighten your burden? That's what Paul is saying. The The Lord, of course, is the great burden bearer. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. And let us be like Christ and show others indeed that we care. That'll go a long way to support them in their weakness. Proverbs 18, verse 35. David said, "Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." Thy right hand hath holden me up. Isn't that what a person who is weak needs? The need to be held up. And to that dear soul who's laboring under a heavy, heavy burden and has grown weak because of it, we can hold them up in our prayers. We can hold them up at the throne of grace. We can do what Paul told the Galatians to do when he said, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." But there's something else here in this word. The word support. The word itself means to hold fast. Paul says, "Hold fast to the weak. Don't let them sink. Don't let them go down." Paul calls upon Christians here not to let the weak brother or sister sink down into despair. But Paul says, hold on to them. Hold them fast. Psalm 94, verse 18, "When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." And sometimes it happens with us all. Sometimes believers slip and they're ready to sink. Yes, the Lord will hold them up. But let us endeavor to hold them up as well and say, "I'm not going to let you down." You remember Peter when he stepped out of the ship, when he saw the Lord walking on the sea? And we know what happened to Peter. Peter began to sink. We read these words, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him." In other words, the Savior wasn't going to let him sink beneath the waves. Once more, let us be like the Savior and say to that weak brother or sister laboring under heavy burden, "I'm not going to let him sink. I'm here to help you. I'm here to hold on to you. I'm here to lift you up by the grace of God." Compassion. Something is very rare in this world today. But then in the last place of this verse 14, Paul says, "Be patient toward all men." The word "men" is in italics, so be patient toward all. Told the Thessalonians, "Be patient toward all." That grace of patience. Is to be seen in our lives. Second Peter, chapter 1. And beside this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Patience is to be added to our faith. We're to be patient, certainly, in the Lord's work. We're to be patient toward each other. Paul, again in writing to Timothy, said that one of the marks of a man of God is patience. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. As I looked at the words of that verse and those words of Paul, I thought to myself, my patience keeps good company, doesn't it? It keeps company with righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and meekness. Patience keeps good company. May patience be seen in our lives. Be patient with those of God's people who are feeble-minded. Patient with those who are weak. Patient with those who perhaps are not making the spiritual progress that you and I think they should be making. Need to be patient. So the compassionate Christian will be all of these things: righteous, godly, have faith, love, meekness, and patience. What would be our fate? Where would we be today if the Lord had not been patient with us? If the Lord was not patient with us today, not just after we got saved, but all the years of our Christian life, has the Lord not been patient with us? We see our own lives personified in the lives of the disciples. And how often they stepped out of line. How often they said things they shouldn't have said. How often they exhibited a weak faith. Even when they denied the Lord, how patiently the Lord dealt with them. And how patiently the Lord, praise his name, has dealt with us. Where would we be if the Lord had not been patient with us? He'd have been throwing us on the scrap heap long ago. We read in Revelation 1, verse 9, regarding the Savior, he speaks about the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. How thankful we are the Lord is patient. James said in James 5 verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And that's what 1 Thessalonians is all about, the coming of the Lord. And James says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Patience is a grace that will be seen in the compassionate Christian. Let us all endeavor ever to be that compassionate Christian. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort, speak kindly to the feeble-minded, support, hold them up, support the weak, share their burdens, the burdens that have grown so heavy that it has weakened them. Share that burden and be patient toward all men. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving and gracious God, we pray thou would write thy word upon the fleshly tables of our heart. Lord, we thank thee for reminding us of how compassionate our dear Savior is, and how that compassion was demonstrated over and over again. How he was moved when he saw the multitudes that fainted. How he was moved with compassion when he saw that dear widow woman taking her son to his burial place. How he was moved with compassion when he saw that leprous man. And how the Lord was compassionate when he saw us sinking in the mire of sin, reached out his hand and lifted us out of the mire, cleansed us in his own blood, made us one of his own. O Lord, minister to us today through thy word. Give us that grace of compassion. Help us, Lord, indeed, to support the weak. Help us, O Lord, to speak kindly to the feeble. Help us, Lord, to be patient, long-suffering. Lord, be with us now this thy day. Bless us. And return us, Lord, in thy will to worship thee in the house of the Lord again tonight, that we might learn more about thee. And in so doing, we might learn more about ourselves. Grant us all now traveling mercy. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now.